doctor as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. I wanted to talk to you a bit about, because I just found out about it this weekend, a video called Monopoly, Who Owns the World? There's a couple issues. And I'll give you the link to it. But anyway, a couple things beforehand, real quick. One was I talked with my friend Chris, who brought up a song by Rich Mullins called What Susan Said. And he pointed to a line, and if your home is just another place where you're a stranger, and, you know, because we talked about that, because the difference between Chris and myself, well, one thing is we're the same. We're both striving to be followers of Christ and obedient to him and show love in our relationships with basically all people, but most importantly, our own wives. But at the same time, he lives in the same house as his wife, but not really with his wife. Whereas I'm not in the same house as my wife. And so I've been thinking about that line. And if your home is just another place where you're a stranger. Well, you know, my home is a place where I'm the only one here. So it's different. But both cases, it's a real problem. But the thing that also really got to me, next line is far away, and at far away is just somewhere where you've never been. Okay. But then, I hope you'll remember I was your friend. Dorothy Jane, my lady, I hope you remember. I was and remain your friend. I did do a hike today, shocker. And I did see Miss Lillian again, which was a delight because it's been almost 2 weeks since the time I met her two sons, which was fascinating. But I went into some detail on that. But we talked and celebrated that time. I've talked to you about a lot of things, including things about like the World Economic Forum, and because I even mentioned that Friday. And discussed the Federal Reserve and how the Federal Reserve is part of the Bank of International Settlements and so forth, that it is a private company. It is not a government agency. And the fact that the way it's control of the Federal Reserve is owned by 12 or 13 regional organizations, which in turn are owned by banks, and banks in turn are owned by others and so forth. So it's layer upon layer upon layer in order to hide where the true ownership is. And it's discussed by a lot that some of the big owners are, you know, the two that are most often mentioned are BlackRock and Vanguard. Because I have mentioned before the interlocking boards and things of that nature between various big corporations. So you think the common examples used is the choice between Coke and Pepsi. There's no choice there. Because not only do they have common people working for both companies on the board of directors and things of that nature often, but also the ownership is typically shared. So the company that owns one owns the other. Or, you know, the major players. And again, one of the things that's important, because I remember, again, I can't emphasize this enough, the day I was on the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and when the VP of SIAC, the company that runs the technology there, when he and I had that conversation right there in the middle of the trading floor, and he talked about our only, the only thing we care about is volume. Because it's the whole thing there is how to extract funds. And one of the ways you do that is you give people the idea that for, at least for some, that they're making money on it. That's the whole point of the layered management. Because you get each layer says, I do something in order to support the guy above me because it makes me do better than the people below me, kind of thing. And maybe I can move up a layer, kind of thing. It's that appeal. It has nothing to do with obedience to Christ, because, you know, love isn't part of this. But anyway, I was referred to a video that I did watch called Monopoly, Who Owns the World? And so I watched it, and I thought, okay, it's interesting, because one of the things they did is they showed a lot of the things I talked about. For example, he went into some detail describing how exactly what I said, he mentioned, you know, people like BlackRock and so forth, how they own huge amounts, huge percentages of so many companies. And so the fact that, you know, the choice between Coke and Pepsi is not real. And they went into a lot of this. They did talk about the World Economic Forum, and they even had an image there of Klaus Schwab in his villain outfit. it was a lot of this stuff, and I wondered about it, because this was something with a lot of significant production value. It had a lot of stuff where they had, you know, it's you know, good quality images and things of that nature, and well presented, precisely delivered lines and so forth. And I thought about that. I was thinking, okay, two options here that seemed to be obvious. Because I was reminded about some years ago, there was a video series came out called Zeitgeist, which caused a little stir, whatnot. It was popular for a while. And I watched it. And I saw the first one. I thought, okay, this is informative. But it was a series. And then you can see in the second, and I think especially, it's been years since I've seen it, it was very cultish. New Ages kind of stuff. So you started with some really good information, and then you brought in the stuff that was really bad. And this video is apparently supposed to be a series also. And I wonder, is it the same thing? Did they give you a whole bunch of well-presented, good information, and they set the stage? And now they say, okay, look, I'm credible. I'm giving you a whole bunch of information. Because the fact that, you know, the facts that they present about the way the market works, the multi-level management, the impact of groups like, you know, the large organizations, World Economic Forum. And, you know, again, they had the images of all the world leaders and corporate leaders and whatnot there. And they talked about, I think they even brought up, did they bring up Chatham House? And I don't know if they brought up Council on Foreign Relations or whatnot, but you know, it's these are the same kind of organizations that have been around for years, and or centuries, because one of the things that happens is over time, people that you know, a good example is a what you might say a division of the Freemasons was formed literally in 1776, called the Illuminati, and apparently developed some issues in the sense of maybe the way it was perceived. So you can throw it away. But the mindset and so forth continued. You just rebrand, reorganize, you may get rid of some of the riffraff, and it continues on, the same mentality. And the thing that I thought fascinating is, it was suggested recently by somebody, I don't know, because the Freemasons that obviously still continue today, tremendous influence over the last several hundred years, but it doesn't seem to be as strong lately. Question is why, and the suggestion was is because the mindset that's being produced has been absorbed into the corporate leadership, things of that nature. But so it's you don't need a separate organization; it is part of, you know, the system. But anyway, Because obviously, this is the kind of thing where you have to make, you have to declare an allegiance. To become part of the Freemasons, you have to declare an allegiance. The higher up you go, the allegiance is, you know, if I violate this, I'm willing to die. I mean, you know, check the Freemason requirements. It's anyway. But so what you see in this Monopoly video, I'm wondering about this, because just like the Zeitgeist video, I think what it did is it took a lot of the issues that was originally brought out in the first video and now made it look like if you subscribe to any of those thoughts, you're part of this lunatic fringe. And I wonder, because they did a whole bunch of really good information and they come out with a second or third video, and we find out this is, you know, they're promoting something odd. And then all of the things they suggest become, the credibility goes away. I really wonder about that, because it is a common technique. You know, there's this idea, if you study propaganda and whatnot, it's called the limited hangout. In other words, you say, all right, we've done an event, or we have a particular organization, whatnot, and there's something that a problem, and so we want to distract from it. So what we'll do is we'll admit to something that's periphery, and we'll say, "Oh, look, here's a problem over here. Look over here. Here's the problem." And we're going to either resolve it or, some heads will roll or whatever. We'll sacrifice something. Because now you're looking over here, but you're not looking at the fundamentals. So that it's called a limited hangout. You know, I mean, you can check into this. It's a common thing done by the intelligence community and so forth. And I wonder if that's what we're seeing here. Because, you know, there is this reality. There's the reality of that layered system. You'll find a lot of people have done it for a long time, show this idea of a pyramid where you have, you know, the ultimate leadership, and then you have a secondary, tertiary, all the way down, various levels of leadership within an institution. And again, the bottom layer is a place that most people don't want to be. They want to move up a layer. And, that's a big deal, to move up a layer, because compared to the layer below you, you're doing much better. You know, it's kind of like when I was making, six figures back in, the 90s, early 2000s, it was a whole lot more comfortable than making 30, 40K. But, there's a price. And obviously, especially in the software industry, it's corrupt, like the medical industry, like the political industry, like the banking industry and so forth, the whole list. But it's that layering thing. And you cannot violate that, because if you point to a problem, you have a problem. Okay, one other thing on that. Well, anyway, just to finish this, I recommend the video, Monopoly, Who Owns the World. I'll put the link to it. It's stopworldcontrol.com, which I never heard of, and I don't know anything about it. It might be loony. However, at least this first video does have a good summary, some very good information. I am concerned if it's going to go off to, like I say, a cultish direction and destroy the credibility of the arguments they make. I really think that's a serious possibility. But, I talk a lot about whistleblowers and people who have made a stand and end up in prison or arrested or whatnot. A friend of mine was arrested recently, and I have the video of it, and I'll give you the link to the video of it. The friend of mine who was arrested is David Tullis. He went to an event. I guess it was Friday or Saturday. Anyway, he went to an event done by the state, and he went as a reporter, and he went there apparently prepared, because he could say, here's the law. The law says, as a reporter, as a credentialed reporter, I can be here. And they said, no, you can't, because it happened at the Embassy Suites in Chattanooga. And they went back and forth, and they brought in the management of the hotel. And he clearly said, this facility has been ceded to the state for this purpose, and he has a right to be here. So then the police were there, and they said, you have to leave. And he said, no, and they arrested him. So that was intriguing. And the question, you know, because I sent him an email, and honestly, I don't expect a response, because the question is, you know, if you look at others who've done this on the larger scale, either the world stage or at least the U.S. stage, they're in prison, they're tortured. You know, obviously, the big name is Julian Assange. Secondary is John Kiriakou, or who has served his time in prison, is now a free man, or Daniel Hale, who is in prison today, who obviously I did the All Hail the Whistleblower video. But so, and now we're talking about the state level. And in a sense, this is this is what David Tullis is playing into. So I ask him, you know, have you thought this through? And I'm assuming he has. But I also ask him, and like again, I don't expect a response. From the stand of a follower of Christ, was this appropriate? And I think that's interesting, because I know about the things I was involved in, especially with pro-life activity, and people that I knew were involved in, especially during the time of Operation Rescue and things of that nature, because obviously I've known some of those people and interacted with them. Especially in the 80s, because I went to an Operation Rescue meeting in Winston-Salem, it's not that far away. But there are a lot of questions. Is this obedience to Christ? And, you know, all depends. Does it matter? Obviously, it doesn't matter to the institutional church, does it? Obedience to Christ? Nah. What's good for the institution? Just like this, you know, this pyramid thing. Institutional church, the same way. Exactly the same way. It's an institution. Anyway, I think it's worth considering, and I would suggest watching that video. And I really wonder what part two will be like. Will it be the migration towards the cultish thing, or will it continue to offer what I think is good information? And even if it does turn cultish or whatever, even if it is a limited hangout or something of that nature, if the information they put out initially is true, will it impact you? Will you say, I didn't know this, so now what do I do to say, okay, I want to make sure that I don't go here? You know, for example, I think one of the things they talked about, because I thought about it when I was watching it, they talked about how the vast majority of, farming, the food industry and so forth, how it is centralized. And, you know, obviously I go to the farmer's market, so, until it closed. But they also mentioned clothes. You know, right now, obviously I'm wearing something, this was hand-knit by my mom. And the bulk of the clothes that I wear, you know, I wear my hemp clothing, made in Romania by hand. hand, you know, obviously hand on a machine, but not automated machines. Not these giant factories in, you know, India and China and so forth, or Bangladesh, where most, you know, the jockeys and all the big name brands are done. These are done in huge factories by these major corporations. And I personally have made a conscious decision. Yeah, I pay more. Oh, do I pay more? And which is why I run my clothes into the ground. The clothes I get, besides the fact wearing hemp because it takes care of skin issues, I'm buying it from somebody who made it. You know, again, this was not made. You know, my boot was not made by these big massive machines in a factory in China. These are pretty much handmade. This is an expensive boot, but you know, again, there's about 10 heels and I think 2 or 3 times the soles have been replaced, because I get my money's worth out of these things. And this boot probably has at least 2,000 miles on it. And considering the condition it's in, and it should be on the top of Big Frog Mountain in a couple of weeks, it's a good investment. It's just not cheap to get. But, you know, price per mile, it's fine. But again, the same with the clothes. So when you look at something done by, you know, BlackRock and so forth, who makes the majority of clothing, but not mine. You know, the... since it happens to be here, you know, my socks. I can do better than that. A new pair. My new pair of socks. Again, these were made in Romania. Obviously on a machine, but not in a factory. Not in a factory in the sense of you know, these big massive mills. You know, a lot of these are you know, they're quite small places that make these. Because my objective is not to support big business to save a buck, not to make BlackRock make more money, but to make sure that when I spend a buck, most of it goes to the people who make the product I'm buying. It's called an act of love, and it needs to be done consciously. When you go to Walmart, you're not doing that at all. You know, been guilty. But I try to encourage others. You know, like I said, I haven't been in a Walmart in probably 4 years, maybe more. I simply don't go into those kind of places. I don't go. I think in the last 4 years, because of a particular, there was only source. Yeah. I've never, you know, I don't buy stuff from Amazon. You know, owned by BlackRock, and you know, and so is Walmart. But so it's a conscience decision. Why would you make that decision? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. BlackRock, Vanguard, and the others are not my neighbor. That's an institution. The people who harvested the hemp, grew it, harvested it, and then weave my, or knitted, these are knitted socks, are people. And a good part, perhaps even most of the money I spent to get those socks went to them. I want to encourage others to do the same. Again, that's that act of love. Anyway, so that's comments on the movie and the song, what Susan said. And of course, there is that fundamental thing again. I'm in love with my wife. beyond question. Dorothy Jane, my lady, I love you.